We come this evening to question 16, the Shorter Catechism. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell in him. So it fell with him in his first transgression. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. All mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Now, when you hear the question, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? You may be tempted to give it a very simple answer. Yes. But you'll see that the answer that's been composed is very carefully nuanced. It is, of course, in the affirmative. Yes. All mankind did fall in Adam's first transgression. Now, we have to remind ourselves, what is a covenant? We're told the covenant being made with Adam. What is a covenant? Well, we looked at that in question 12, didn't we? And we remember a covenant is a formal, permanent, public, solemnly sworn agreement unto death that binds two parties into relationship and obligation with rewards and retribution according to faithfulness or unfaithfulness. God entered into covenant. But he entered into covenant with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. We're told Adam was the covenant head. Remember in question 13 and question 15, it asks about our first parents. Did our first parents continue in the state wherein they were created? What was the sin whereby our first parents fell from the state wherein they were created? But this question doesn't ask about our first parents. It asks about Adam. Why that subtle difference? Well, it's because in the sequence of the events, or the narrative of the events, which is what is covered by questions 13 and 15, the part played by Adam's wife matters. But here in question 15, which is talking about the covenant, the significance is with Adam alone. He is the singular head of the entire human race, and his wife is included in him and with him. Remember, he was made and then she was taken from his side and then they had children. So they all came ultimately from Adam. So he was made as the head of the race. It says the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself but for his posterity. What is posterity? Posterity means all future generations. So the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for all future generations, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. It's interesting, the Old Testament doesn't immediately state to us that all mankind fell with Adam. It doesn't state it, but rather we see as we read in the narrative of events that Adam and his wife were cast out of the garden and then their family were born out with the garden, forbidden to return to the garden. And it's clearly demonstrated the consequences of sin. Their firstborn was Cain. Cain who slew Abel. in the history that we have, we're quickly told about Lamech, a man who boasted in his sinfulness. Before long, you find yourself in the midst of Noah's world, where the world was so corrupt that God sent a great flood to consume and to cleanse the earth. So the Old Testament doesn't immediately state that all are fallen, but rather it shows us that all are fallen. And it's very concisely put for us in Romans in chapter 5. It says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation. Why does it tell us all mankind descending from him in ordinary generation? Well, that's because there is an exception. It's all mankind except whoever would not descend by ordinary generation. Ordinary generation means simply being born with a mother and a father. Now, who stands out? Who is unique in this? In not having a human mother and a human father? I think you know. Remember when the angel came to announce to Mary that she would give birth to a son? Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so when Mary was told of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said, but there's no father for this child. She's told this child won't have a human father, but rather God shall cause this child to form within you. Here is one who descends by extraordinary generation. And that's where they Catechism is so careful to say the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him. Because Jesus Christ did not sin in him, and Jesus Christ did not fall in him. Jesus Christ is in relationship with Adam. In the gospel accounts in Matthew and Luke, they're genealogies, and you can follow these genealogies, and it's very clear that Jesus Christ was in relationship with Adam. But he was not from ordinary generation, and he was not represented by Adam. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it speaks about Jesus Christ being the last Adam, showing us that he is distinct and in contrast to this first Adam. And in Romans chapter 8 it says that he was born in the likeness of sinful flesh, but not sinful. Like sinful flesh, but not fallen. So we're told there was a covenant, and that covenant was made with Adam as the covenant head of all that descended from him by ordinary generation. He is the covenant head of every human person, every man, woman, and child. All his posterity, except for Jesus Christ. Now, how are we in covenant with Adam? What is the connection we have with Adam that conveys that covenant or makes that covenant relevant? What's your relationship to Adam? But there's two principal views. The first we'll consider is that of realism. Realism is the idea that you were really there. That though it was all these generations, all these thousands of years ago, you were really there, essentially as a component part of Adam. You were within your father, within your father, within your father, within your father, all the way back to your first father, Adam. And that's in part based upon what we find in Hebrews chapter 7, where Paul, speaking about the priority of Melchizedek as a priest, and he's saying that Melchizedek was a greater priest than Levi. Because remember, he says, Abraham, Levi's forefather, bowed down to Melchizedek. And in chapter 7 of Hebrews, he says that Levi was still in the loins. He was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. But Paul, in writing in Hebrews there, is not saying that Levi was actually there. He said it's like Levi was there. It's interesting, isn't it, that we're told in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5 that Adam lived 930 years. And yet how much do we know about Adam's life? We know about this first sin. And we're told the names of three of his sons. He lived 930 years and there are no other events recorded, not even his response to Cain when he slew Abel. The significance of Adam in redemptive terms is only this first sin, not his subsequent sins. Now, Adam had fallen. Adam inevitably would go on and sin many different ways, but the Bible doesn't highlight that as significant. It's this first sin alone that is significant. In fact, the Bible doesn't in any way describe an incremental burden of sin from generation to generation being passed on to today's generation, to be passed on with an even greater number to tomorrow's generation. And remember, Jesus is a descendant of Adam. And so if it's realism, if it's because you were really there, because you were there in the lines of your forefather, first father, then there would need to be some account of all these subsequent sins. And what about Jesus? And also, what about the parallelism or the symmetry that we find? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, he says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What he says is the same mechanism by which you're connected to Adam is the same mechanism by which you're connected to Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, we read there in verse 18, it's the same thing. He says, therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. But believers are not those who are physically descended from the Saviour. That's not the relationship we have with Jesus. And therefore, that's not the pivotal relationship that we have with Adam. So it's not realism. But what is it? And the answer is this. The covenant relationship is that of federalism. Now, you may know the word federal, because sometimes you hear it when you hear about the American government. The US has a federal government. And it's famously summed up by Abraham Lincoln at his address at Gettysburg, where he speaks of a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's not that all the people are in government, but rather the people are represented in government. and we have a House of Commons, but in America they have the House of Representatives. And that's what makes their government a federal government, because it is through their representatives. And so they have an election and they appoint representatives. And Adam is your appointed federal representative, appointed by God, not elected by you. And the fact that you didn't choose him is irrelevant. I mean, do you think you could have chosen better? Or do you think that you yourself could do better than Adam did in that situation? You remember Adam is the perfect man in the perfect world with the perfect wife. And you struggle to resist seconds of chocolate cake. You flatter yourself to think that you would do better than Adam. God in his mercy appointed the perfect man to represent you in a perfect world with a perfect wife. It's not the case that when Adam sinned, that all of us who were independently righteous were tarred with that same brush. That's not what happened. You never were righteous. Rather, as it says in Psalm 51, you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. Adam, your representative, sinned, and therefore you are born a sinner. You're made a sinner. And the whole of your life is really a series of compelling symptoms which prove the reality of that. The issue is not so much what you do. The issue is what you are. You're a sinner. Why are you a sinner? Not because you're taught to be a sinner. In fact, your parents, most parents, they teach their children to do well as best as they can. But children rebel against that. Why? Because of the sinful nature. Where does sinful nature come from? They were born with it. Why were they born sinners? Because Adam, our federal head, sinned. And a covenant was made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. So in his sin, you fell. If you say, I'm not having that, if you say, I resist and I reject and I refuse that, well, you need to understand that your refusal, your rejection, your resistance can't annul what has happened. In many ways, it's irrelevant to the fact the covenant was made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, and therefore all mankind, which includes you, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. You resist, rebel, refuse to acknowledge that. You can't undo what has happened. But you know what you do do? If you resist, refuse, rebel, what you do do is you disallow salvation through Christ. Because remember what I said. I drew your attention to what Paul has written. He says salvation comes through the same mechanism. There are two representatives. There's Adam and there's a last Adam. The last Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not called a second Adam. He's called the last Adam because there is no other. And in a sense, you could simplify history to say there's been two men. There's Adam and there's Jesus. And who represents you? Who do you stand beside? Who will you follow? So Adam is not only your relative in being your first father, but he is also your representative. And as such, his action resulted in your alienation. and liability to judgment. You might say that's not fair. But that's based upon your understanding. That's based upon your thinking. But when you stand on Judgment Day, your guilt will not be Adam's action in taking that fruit. But rather, your guilt will be you as a fallen sinner having gone on to live in sin. And you will give an account according to your works that have flowed from that. So the answer is not to resent Adam. But the answer rather is to repent as a sinner. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? The brief answer, yes. The more nuanced, careful answer, the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him, fell with him in his first transgression. Let's summarise. Who is in covenant with Adam? All mankind, everyone, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. For he was born of a virgin. Adam did not represent Jesus Christ in the covenant. Did you know this? Jesus Christ represented Adam. How do we know that? We know that because upon Adam's sin, the Lord in his mercy made sacrifice for him and clothed him with the skin of the animals. And though he sent him out of the garden, Adam named his wife. Up until that point, her name was woman. He named her Eve because she'd be the mother of all living, because he believed what God had said to him. And his faith was evidence of his being in a covenant with Christ. Adam didn't represent Jesus, but Jesus represented Adam. But the great question for you tonight is this. Does Jesus represent you? Who is in covenant with Jesus? Well, we cannot see from the perspective of God. We cannot enter into the councils of eternity and read books of election. But this we know, that those who are in covenant with Jesus Christ are those who will come to him and exercise faith. Our Lord says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And therefore, as a sinner fallen in Adam, as a sinner practiced in your own proud rebellion, you need to come to Christ and to seek his mercy, and to do so confident in his faithfulness. For those who call upon him and trust in him shall be saved. Or no longer stand represented by Adam in sin, but rather will stand represented by Christ Jesus in his glorious righteousness. Amen.